It's a little fun to have a secret, isn't it?
No?
I'm interested now what the secret is that you... Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit too. It's an interesting response. Right, right. For everyone else, it's a little fun sometimes to have a secret, to be in on the know when other people don't know, right? But I was just... and this is literally the next thing on my thing to say. When you hear a really good secret, what do you want to do with it? You want to tell it, don't you? It's painful not to tell it. When it's a really good secret, you want to share it. You want to tell the secret. Even when you're not supposed to, sometimes keep the secret. You want to share it. Now, if it's bad news, sometimes that can be considered gossip, and you really should not share it, right? You should... to the truth of the matter first, and if it's not going to help anybody, that's gossip. That's not what we're talking about today. But we're talking about good things, good secrets, things that should be shared. Why do we have the desire to share those good things, those good secrets? Why do we have the desire to share? Yeah, to show that you're in the know. You're excited. It's good news. Absolutely. Yeah, we want to combat the negativity and share with people the good news. So we like hearing secrets and being let in on the secrets, but then we also like to share the secrets so that they're not secrets anymore, right? That kind of sums that up. Last week, we talked about the secret that God let us in on. For centuries past, centuries previous to Jesus coming, there was a secret that it was written in plain sight. Everyone should have known it by following what God was up to, following God's plan. And yet there was a secret that Paul refers to as the mystery of Christ that he lets us in on. But it's not a secret that we're supposed to keep. In fact, even in the Old Testament, the Bible says, "Declare his glory among the nations. Declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all peoples." Now, in the New Testament, whenever we see that word Gentiles, that's the same word as the nations. The nations. And even in the Old Testament, it says, "Declare his glory among the nations." It's not a secret that we're supposed to keep. In fact, God calls us to proclaim the mystery of Christ to all the world. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're at this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. It says this: "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ, and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have boldness and confident access through him, through faith in him. So then I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are for your glory." Let's pray. God, thank you for letting us in on this secret, this mystery, that for hundreds, thousands of people before us, before Christ came, it was hidden, obscured, or maybe even hidden in plain sight, but so many people missed it. They were blind to it. God, may we not be blind to it. May we not consider it common news, but this beautiful, glorious secret, this mystery, that we might share the gospel, the good news, with all the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a lot of statistics that we could talk about when it comes to evangelism. A lot of people will say that evangelism is one of our biggest fears as believers, and not many Christians are doing it. And there's lots of studies that can support all these different viewpoints. But I want to look at this one chart, this one study that I saw recently that kind of sums up some of these things, but also gives us a little bit of hope. It says that 58% of churchgoers' attitudes regarding sharing their faith, 58% say that they feel comfortable sharing their faith, which I think that's good news. That's the majority. You know, we wish it could be higher. We wish it could be more like 100% of Christians, or this is labeled as churchgoers, so maybe some of these people aren't Christians, I don't know. But it says, feel comfortable sharing their faith, 58%. 78%, it says, haven't shared their faith in 6 months. In 6 months. And, you know, once again, we can look at this in a negative way and say, man, that's the vast majority haven't shared their faith in 6 months. But once again, I think we should look at it in a positive. 22% have. 22%, a fifth, more than a fifth of church-going Christians have shared their faith in the last 6 months. I think that's good. And I think, and I hope that if we were to extend this out to a year, a couple years, maybe we would see that even higher, right? Maybe even the majority at that point have shared their faith in the last year or so, or 2 years. 59%. And once again, this is reported in a negative fashion, but I think we could find a positive in it as well. 59% haven't invited anyone to church in 6 months. Haven't invited anyone in 6 months. Once again, 41% have. That's good news. That's good. That's good that people, at least for almost half of Christians, almost half of churchgoers, have invited somebody in the last 6 months. Now, once again, this was shared in a negative light. And some of us might look at this and say, well, that's me. I haven't shared my faith. I haven't invited anybody. I'm not even comfortable sharing my faith. Maybe some of you are thinking that to yourself. That's you. Once again, I share this not to condemn anyone, but to encourage us to say, well, maybe I haven't, but I can. Maybe I can be on the flip side of some of these things and be a part of that percentage of people who are sharing their faith, who are inviting people to church, who are inviting people to know Jesus. See, when we look at this chart, we could focus on the negative, but or we can say, I'm going to be part of the solution. I'm going to be one of the ones who Jesus has called very clearly to go into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples. See, God has given us a great message to share. God has given us a great message to share. Before Jesus was even born, the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you the good news of great joy that shall be for all the people." It's good news. We have a message that should be shared. It's a message that we should want to share. It's a secret that we should be just itching to get out, to not keep it to ourselves, but to be excited about the message so that we share it with all the world. So we should be challenged. We should be challenged to be a part of those who see the gospel as worth sharing. And Paul himself, as we read this passage today in Ephesians, he saw the gospel, sharing the gospel, as a blessing. Look at verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote this. He says, "This grace was given to me." So he calls it a grace that he has this job to share the gospel. "This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things." Paul saw himself as the least of all the saints. He saw himself as unworthy of carrying the message. He knew that the message was so good that Jesus came as a little baby, live the life that we all fail to live. We all know that we're not perfect. We're sinners. But then died in our place, forgiving us of our sins. Just as Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think Jesus was talking not just about the Romans who were crucifying at the time, but all of us. We know not what we do. But then he didn't stay dead, did he? He rose from the grave, signifying also that we, as we place our faith in him, we rise to live a new life in him. We live because he first rose from the grave. we live in Him. Now, as we talk about the gospel, we can say, yes, it's a glorious message. It's good news. But do we truly see how good it is for everyone? Do we see the gospel as good news, not just for us who have received it, but good news for those who have yet to receive it? Do we see the gospel as news worth sharing? So the gospel is amazing. Paul describes it as the incalculable riches of Christ. Titus chapter 3 says it like this, verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, not by those kinds of works, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. The gospel is amazing. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve being co-heirs with Christ of the eternal blessings that we have in Jesus. We don't deserve any of that. That's why Paul calls it the incalculable riches of Christ. Not just having heaven as our home one day. And that in itself would be amazing. But the incalculable riches of Christ Himself. See, Christ is our greatest treasure. Jesus Himself He's the center of the gospel, right? The gospel wouldn't exist without Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is our Savior and our Lord. And Jesus, who is God, Jesus and the Son of God, comes to live in our hearts by faith. Incalculable riches. The God who created all things allows us to proclaim the mystery of His plan to all. Now, some might say that the message of God's grace, that God freely forgives sinners without requiring anything from the sinner himself, actually takes away from our need for evangelism. Like, put it this way. Some might claim that my belief that God will save all takes away from my need to evangelize. I think that's ridiculous. For the same reason that Paul says right here, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to share the gospel. It's a blessing. It's grace. It's God's grace. Part of God's grace to say, yes, you're unworthy. You're the least of the saints, and yet you are allowed to share this wonderful message of the gospel. Put it like this. Should we stop celebrating Christmas because gifts are free to children? It's a free gift to kids. And they know it's free. And they know that they haven't earned it. Should we stop giving them free gifts? Of course not. It's a celebration of the one who gave us His freest, the free gift of salvation Himself. Jesus Himself. It's a blessing to share the gospel. It's a blessing to give free gifts to our kids. It's a blessing for our kids to look at us and say, thank you for this free gift. They know that they didn't earn it, but they respond with thankfulness. And God calls us to do the same thing. Another reason to proclaim the gospel is that it's only through Jesus that we can be saved. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. Look at verses 10 and 11. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to His eternal purpose accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's only through Jesus that we can be saved. God's eternal purpose is accomplished through Jesus. It's through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 9 through 10 puts it like this. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. See, the gospel centers around Jesus, and the gospel is all about what Jesus has accomplished. The gospel is not about what we can accomplish, as if we have to do something to earn salvation or to even to earn salvation for others. But we are given this great privilege, this great blessing of proclaiming the gospel to all the world. I was talking with a Muslim over the internet recently, and we had a good conversation. We talked about some of the things that we agree on. There is only one God, and we both agree, at least in the way that we say it, at least, that God is good. That God is good. I would disagree with him about his understanding of what good is. But we both affirm these two things: that God, there's only one God, and that God is absolutely good. We're finding some common ground. But then we started talking about Jesus. And from there we split. Because Muslims say that Jesus was just another prophet, just another teacher. He even went so far as to say that Jesus was sinless but not perfect. And I was trying to press him on that. Like, how could he be sinless but not perfect? I mean, sinlessness would imply perfection, wouldn't he? He said, no, only God is perfect. Well, can you put these two things together? See where I'm going with this? But he wouldn't work with me. But Jesus wasn't just one of the prophets. Jesus wasn't just one holy man, just a good teacher. Jesus himself didn't leave that option open to us. As C.S. Lewis said, he was either a liar, a lunatic, I'm paraphrasing, or Lord, right? He was a liar because he claimed to be something that he wasn't. He was a lunatic thinking that he was something that he wasn't. Or he was and is the Lord of all. That's what Jesus himself, those are the options that Jesus gives us. See, Jesus wasn't just one of the prophets. He wasn't just a holy man. Jesus was and is the Savior of all. 1 Timothy 2:5 says it like this: "For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." God has given us, the church, this awesome privilege of revealing the gospel, revealing Jesus to all the world. He is the only Savior. He is the only way by which we must be saved. See, when you see how good Jesus is, you not only place your faith in him, you begin to want to share him with all the world. Verses 12 through 13 says it like this: "In him we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So then I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are for your glory." When we see how good Jesus is, we begin to not just put our faith in him, but begin to share him with all the world. See, faith in Jesus ignites you to tell other people about him. When you see how God gives you grace, not because you've prayed a prayer or because you've walked an aisle, but because Jesus himself just loves you. He loves you despite anything that you've done in your past. Then you genuinely place your faith in him, not because of anything you've done, but because of what God has done for you, giving you salvation freely. And then Jesus ignites you to tell other people about him as well. It says that through Jesus, we have confident access to the Father. We talked about this earlier in Ephesians as well, that because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And we then have constant access to the Father. Because the Spirit's with us, the Spirit's not going to leave us. We always have that channel, always have that personal connection with God. We have confident access to God the Father. We can't sin so much that God stops loving us. We can't. That's not a license to say go out and sin as much as you want. Obviously not. But we can't mess up so much that God stops loving us. His love is greater than that. His love is deeper than that. His love is higher than that, wider than that. Any kind of descriptor that you can put on it, God's love is greater than everything. He will always love you. We have confident access to God the Father because God always loves us. And with Jesus, it says we have boldness to tell others about God's plan through the gospel. And even though it's a good message, it's good news, not everyone's going to like this message. In fact, I would venture to say, upon first hearing it, nobody likes this message. The gospel is good news, but it offends our pride. It offends our pride. It tells us, no, you can't earn your way to heaven. No, you can't be good enough in who you are, just the way that you were born. It offends our pride. Religious people are offended, like us. Religious people are offended because the gospel is free. It's free. If we put barriers up, you have to do this to earn your place with God. You have to do this, or you have to go to a certain church, or walk the aisle, or pray what's called the sinner's prayer. If we put barriers, by the way, when I say that, the Bible never says to pray the sinner's prayer. I know it's tradition. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a very good thing. Praying the sinner's prayer is the kind of heart that God wants us to have. But if we say, you must do it like this, we've said something the Bible doesn't say. Religious people are offended because the gospel is free. The gospel, Jesus, is free. Salvation is a free gift of God by grace. Let's read it just so it's abundantly clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says it like this. For you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. By grace, saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We can be offended because the gospel is free. As religious people, irreligious people are oftentimes, which we were all by nature, by the way. We've all been there too. Irreligious people are offended because the gospel demands them to repent, to change. That word repentance means, it's metanoia. It means to change your mind, to change your mind. So to change your mind regarding God, that He is the Lord and you are not. To change your mind regarding your sin, that sin is bad and not good, something to be embraced, but something to shun, right? To change your mind regarding Jesus, that He alone is the Savior that we must put our faith in. So it would be so easy to be discouraged, as we often see so little results from sharing our faith, because it seems like as we share Jesus, people just get offended rather than embrace the good news. And when you consider how living out our faith can even lead to persecution, we might get extremely disheartened over it all. And yet Paul asked the Ephesian church not to be discouraged over the affliction he experienced in sharing the gospel, because it was for their glory. You see, the persecution and afflictions of other believers encourage us and strengthen us to also live out our faith in bold ways. If you were to ask any missionary who experienced affliction in the past, if they would have, looking back, you know, now they've passed away, they're in heaven with Jesus. Looking back, if they would have, it could have just, you know, skipped all that persecution stuff. Like Paul, they would say no, because that it's the persecution, it's the suffering, it's the affliction that identifies themselves with the suffering of Jesus. See, sometimes we think that the Christian life is being able to avoid all that stuff. No, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is following Jesus, even when it's hard. The Christian life is taking up your cross and following Jesus. So even as we think about the persecution or the offensive nature of the gospel, that we might continue to share Jesus even when it's hard. Even when we know it's going to lead to persecution. Even when we know it's going to lead to that friend shunning us and never talking to us again. The good news is still good. And we've planted a seed and somebody else is going to water it. God's going to bring the growth because He's promised that He would. See, God has given us a secret to tell to the nations. that it's not just the Jews who are God's chosen people. It's not just one select family who gets to inherit salvation. No, we're to declare the gospel to the nations that God loves them too. That God has a plan for them in Christ as he's reconciling the whole world to himself. But that begins with each person's heart. It'd be so easy to say, well, God's going to save me eventually, so I'll just wait until eventually. No. God's reconciling you to himself today. He wants you to know his goodness starting today, his kindness, his mercy, so that you might live with him all of your life, and then that extends into eternity. Receive Jesus today, because Jesus is the point of all things. We're going to sing a song of invitation.
Page 544.
544 in your hymnal. As you turn there, go ahead and stand. 544. If you need to know Jesus, I invite you to come and receive him today.